السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My respected elders and brothers, if I can just inconvenience you a little bit and just ask everyone to stand up. As you're probably aware, with it being Friday, we're expecting a lot of people today. So if we can make the sufuf from the beginning and try and fill in each and every vacant space in front of us, try to stand shoulder to shoulder. Move to your right as far, just remain standing for a little while longer until we know all the places have been taken up. Try and encourage one another to move forward as well. It's an important aspect of salah or preparation for salah, the formation of the sufuf. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to walk through the sufuf and ensure that they were straightened. So we should also, when we move forward or when we take a step forward, we should remind ourselves that this is an important aspect for the preparation of salah, just as the performance of wudu. Salah actually begins well before the iqamah. A person, it comes in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when a person performs wudu from home and then he leaves his house with the intention of salah, he has no other motive, no other objective, he's coming to the masjid to offer salah. For every step he takes, I'm paraphrasing the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the nearest effect, that every step he takes, a sin is forgiven. For every step that he takes, a good deed is recorded in his book of deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises his rank and status. So similarly, when we come into the masjid, there are etiquettes and adab that we need to observe. The masjid is a place of ibadah, it's a place to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing we do, and Ramadan is a brilliant opportunity to embed these habits, and we have to learn, isn't it? Every person has learnt, or before even a teacher becomes a teacher, he has to learn, he has to go through that formal process of learning. So Ramadan is a brilliant opportunity to really embed not just the fara'id, the tenets of the faith, but even the small minute details and the adabs and the etiquettes, these are also from the sunnah. The scholars were very particular. These are practical things. So when we come into the masjid, how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam enter the masjid? He would enter with the right foot. And immediately, the heart and mind would be turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the first thing that we supplicate for and we ask for when we enter the masjid? Allahumma iftah li abwaab rahmatik. O Allah, open the doors of your mercy on me. When we supplicate in this way with the presence of the heart and mind, then why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not open his doors of mercy upon us? In such, because these things are very abstract and strange for us, because we have become so detached spiritually. We become so materially centered. Everything, our whole life is centered around money and material objects and the acquisition of, whether it's in the form of cars, whether it's clothing. And Ramadan is that month, is such a huge blessing from Allah subhanahu. Just imagine, if we didn't have the month of Ramadan, what would our lives be like? It's almost like it has a sobering effect, isn't it? Because you're so caught up in everything, the dunya and all the different worries and concerns, and every person has his own story, as we say. Say this again, every person's got his own story. There are things going on in your life. There are things that you want to do. There are things that you want to do for your children. You want to secure their future. You want to secure your future financially. But essentially, you know, and it's absolutely correct for a person to make this concerted effort to provide for myself, to provide for my family, so I don't have to extend my hand out to another person. But if it's to the detriment of my deen and my akhirah, and if it makes me negligent and heedless of my responsibilities to the one who created me, who provided for me, then the entire effort and the whole project is a waste, because it's such a great loss. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and I'm sure, you know, mashallah, you've had many learned people and scholars that have, you know, spoken to you and who you've listened to throughout the month of Ramadan. Allah says, "Kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba 'alal ladina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun." That, why did Allah, is, you know, in Allah's making it very clear that Allah made fasting an obligation. He made it mandatory, farad upon you, kama kutiba 'alal ladina min qablikum, and this wasn't just for you, but the nations before you, from the Yahud and the Nasara, albeit the form of their fast may have been different, maybe they had to observe it slightly differently. This is what the Mufassirin say in the books of Tafsir. But essentially Allah says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you become conscious and mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now they say, الصِّيَامُ نِصْفُ الصَّبْرِ أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, that fasting is half a patience. Half a patience is fasting. Because, you know, throughout the day, from dawn till dusk, the primal, our primal needs, you know, our primary needs in terms of as a human being, you know, what do we need? We need food, we need water, we need shelter, we need clothing. But upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's instruction, a Muslim, a mu'min, will not eat, he will not drink from Subh al-Sadiq, true dawn, till sunset. And this is also an expression of our submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when we talk about Islam, aslama comes from the root word, and you've heard this probably so many times before. It comes from the root word Islam. Aslama yuslimu Islam. It's the fourth form. Those who've studied Arabic grammar, it's the fourth form. And it means when a person submits himself. It's total and complete submission. To who? To the one, the Almighty who created us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One expression, or from day to day, a daily expression of this submission is the five times daily salah. Five times a day, where we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an expression where a person, you know, it's mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ, that the nearest a person can be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the nearest a person can draw to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is when he is in the state where his head, his forehead, is placed on the ground in sujood. This is the, and really and truly, with the presence of heart and mind, when a person, when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for anyone else to lower your head before any other person, mortal being in this dunya, would be the greatest form of humiliation, to have to bow. But our servitude and ubudiyah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that there is no greater honor than to lower our heads and place the most dignified limb or part of our body on the ground, and lowering ourselves and acknowledging that, oh Allah, I am absolutely nothing and you are everything for me. These are the
messages that we need to hone in, even more so in Ramadan. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah, a great scholar from the Tabi'un or Tabu'u Tabi'in, and he writes, and if you want to read, you know, recommended reads, good reads, read The Secrets of Fasting by Imam Ghazali rahimahullah. It's also been translated by many translators in English as well. And he talks about the secrets of fasting. What through that hunger that we experience and the humility that comes with it, it has an effect on the soul. Because food nourishes the physical body, whereas the a'mal, salah, dhikr, dua, these are a source of nourishment for our souls. And Ramadan is all about the soul. It's moving our focus away from the physical body and turning towards the soul. My respected brothers and elders, look at us. Many of us, you know, we're getting older, we're not getting younger. And then there was a time we looked ourselves in the mirror and you wouldn't see a single white hair. And so slowly you see one and then you're concerned, you're worried, what's going on here? Because no one feels like they're getting older. You know, in your mind you still think, you know, I'm still young. I'm not old. And then all of a sudden, the youngsters start calling you an uncle, and you start thinking, well, why is he calling me an uncle? And you don't realize. And this is a thing about age. You know, when we were younger, we used to look at our dads and look at, you know, those are uncles and think these guys are old. But now we're at that stage where they were. And my son, my daughter, my nieces, my nephews, they're looking at me and thinking, this guy's old, what does he know? This is life. And Ramadan, subhanAllah, Allah says, isn't it, in the Quran, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. But then Allah also says, further on, أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ. أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ. A few days that you can count. How many days? 30 days. 30 days of difficulty, yes. No one's going to say, well, mashallah, there are those that are genuinely at that spiritual level. You know, their iman is of, you know, at such a level that they actually enjoy the difficulties that they endure in the fasting. That thirst, that hunger. They see it as a way of drawing to Allah. But there's difficulty in it, no doubt. We feel hunger, we feel thirsty. Some of us, especially in the beginning, you know, we have the habit of having our morning coffee. Some of us will have 2-3 coffees a day. And those first 2-3 days will be so difficult. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us consolation in the Quran. Allah says, don't worry, أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ. It's just for a little while, for a few days. They're countable. But Ramadan, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fasting for the day, Taraweeh for the night. Fasting for the day, Taraweeh for the night. But it's also important to remember that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in a hadith that رُبَّ الصَّائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامْهِ إِلَّا الْجُوْ. There's many a fasting person that he gains nothing from the fast except hunger. So he physically deprives his body, he experiences the hunger and the pain. But beyond that, he gains nothing else from his fasting. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَرُبَّ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّهَرْ أَوْ سَهَرْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. That there is many a person who stands in qiyam, and he stands for the taraweeh, and beyond taraweeh, he'll also stand for tahajjud. But he gains nothing from his qiyam and his fasting, from his standing, except tiredness. So from this we also learn a lesson that, even when we're fasting, our minds and our hearts should be engaged and busy in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, we should not do anything which diminishes the reward of the fast or causes the fast to become defective. For example, the scholars say, and the ulama and the mashayikh, And they write about these things in detail. If you want to read, if you want to read about Ramadan, and this is a kitab that most people take for granted, read the Fadail A'man of Sheikh Zakaria Khan Dehlawi, rahmatullah alayh. It's in our masjid here. And he has Sheikh Zakaria, rahimahullah, one chapter just devoted for the month of Ramadan. This chapter is divided into three parts. One, the first chapter about the virtues of Ramadan. The second chapter about the virtues of Laylatul Qadr. And the third chapter about i'tikaf. But an extremely good read. Something we should try to, you know, at home, especially between just before iftar time. Mostly, you know, our women and mashallah, even our brothers who mashallah help out in the kitchen as well, just before iftar. Where everyone's just busy, you know, preparing food and everything else. But what we do is we miss a very important and a key portal of time where du'as are so readily accepted. Du'as are accepted throughout Ramadan. I'll digress a little bit again. But du'as, another amal of Ramadan, du'a, asking Allah for our spiritual needs, needs of the akhirah, needs of the dunya. The sahaba, came to mind that the Sahaba, even if they needed a shoelace, they would ask Allah. They would make dua. And dua can be done while sitting, while standing, while walking, after salah, before salah. So this time, you know, at least we should keep those last 20, 30 minutes where we sit down as a family, with our children, with our wife. You know, and read from this kitab so that we can benefit, so that our hearts can be illuminated with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ayat of the Quran, and the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So coming back, respected brothers, if I can just inconvenience you once again, and if I can ask everyone to stand up one more time, so we can see if we can accommodate for any more brothers. Jazakumullahu khairan. Everyone stands up. I know some of you are tired. Everyone is fasting. MashaAllah. Just try and move to your right, which is my left, as far as you can. And if there is a space, you know, try and invite the brother behind you to just fill that vacant space. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullahu khairan. Hayyakumullah. Akramakumullah. Coming back to the point that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that sometimes we don't derive the full benefit. As a student, you know, if a student enrolls at a college or at a university, whether he wants to study medicine, whether he wants to study engineering, if he wants to really succeed and derive, you know, complete benefit from his lecturers, you know, from the course, then he's got to be in, he's got to be fully and completely committed. Absolutely. And the same with a sports athlete, you know, be it football, you know, whether it's boxing, whatever it is, he's got to be fully devoted and fully, he's got to be absolutely willing to devote himself. And Ramadan is not dissimilar. The more we give, the more we get. And which is why the scholars say, and the mashayikh explain, it's so important that, you know, the deen that we've received it from the ulama. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the sahaba to the tabi'un to the tab'u tabi'een. And then the ulama. That's why any scholar who will teach hadith, who will teach Quran, who will teach something, he will have a chain that connects him directly with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's how he demonstrates that the knowledge that he is presenting is authentic, and it's been learned from person to person, from heart to heart. Not from book to book, from heart, from person to person, from heart to heart to heart. That's how the knowledge has been transmitted. So the mashayikh say to derive complete benefit from fasting, it's not just about staying hungry and thirsty. A key part which stops shaitan making inroads into the heart. But they say that a person must also be, I must also be very particular about my eyes, controlling my gaze, restraining, because what is fasting? I'm restraining myself from eating and drinking, but I also need to restrain these eyes so that I don't cast a lustful glance in the direction where I shouldn't be casting those glances. An important, that resilience is what we're trying to gain. Then, you know, what we're doing is we're safeguarding that fast. The ears, okay? And that also includes, you know, how many of us have, you know, we all have phones, we all have devices. How many a time, ideally, you know, we should completely, you know, put those devices away, ideally, if we can. Not use any of the social media platforms in Ramadan. And then see what effect that has on our soul. So eyes, because of what we're watching, because of, sometimes we're just looking at the news, but accidentally, you know, our gaze, you know, will fall on something which we shouldn't have looked at, and that will affect the heart. Without a doubt. These, you know, the ulama and the mashayikh were so meticulous about how the fast should be observed. Then there's the ears. They talk about the ears. A person must safeguard his ears and exercise restraint regarding the ears. I must be careful what I'm listening to, because listening is done actively. Hearing is something you might be walking past and you might hear something. You don't really have control over that. But what I'm listening to. And Ramadan is such a great opportunity to get away from those vices. If I've got a habit of listening to music, then what? Ramadan is, you know, an excellent opportunity to kind of break away from that addiction, that habit that I have. Again, moving away from those habits, distancing myself. Another thing I can do is listen more to the Qur'an. Thereby I won't have the urge to listen to music, or read more Qur'an, or study the Qur'an further. So safeguarding our ears, safeguarding the tongue. One thing that we learn in the hadith that are mentioned about Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes particular mention about backbiting. And what is backbiting? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he instructed the Sahaba to restrain and avoid backbiting, speaking ill about others in their absence. So one Sahabi asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is something that, you know, it's like a plague in our society and in our families, whether it's our family get-togethers or getting together with our friends, any social gathering, it'll be very hard to find a social gathering where there isn't backbiting. Yet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam emphatically told the ummah that we should avoid this. So the Sahabi asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that what if what I'm saying is true? I'm talking about a particular individual because he's not a very good person, and what I'm saying is the truth. I'm only stating what's the truth about him. I'm not telling any lies. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained to that sahabi that that is ghiba. To say something which is true, yet you're saying it in the absence of that individual, and had that individual heard what you said, his feelings would have been hurt by it. One scholar who visited, his name was Qari Amir Hassan, a man, a genuine saint of Allah, and without exaggeration, I went to visit him in India, and his room was probably from that cupboard to this wall here, and probably up to this, not even up to that stuff, and all his contents of his life, whatever he owned, in a little box this big. And he used to quote this sha'r in Urdu. And the meaning is, kijiye hargiz na suniye kisi ka tazkira. Kijiye, don't ever talk about anyone. And don't even listen to the talk about someone. This is the best solution for avoiding backbiting, talking ill about others. Don't ever talk about another person. Because you'd start talking about him initially, you might say some good things, but you're going to throw in something there. You know, there'll be something there that won't be appropriate. And in the same way, don't go and sit in those gatherings, you know, where people are talking about others. And if you're in a gathering, then if you can't tell them to stop, then just politely excuse yourself and walk away. So again, in a Ramadan, backbiting is something we have to absolutely avoid. And we're training. Again, this is a training, isn't it? We're training ourselves so we can ride this momentum till after Ramadan. So inshallah, after Ramadan, we're changed people. Then, you know, apart from the ears, the tongue, all the limbs in the body, that we try and avoid and shun all forms of haram. Then the fast will give us, we'll derive the benefits that need to be derived from fasting. And then come the end of Ramadan, we will be changed people. And that will be a sign that Ramadan was actually productive for us. You know, like they say regarding Hajj, that a sign of accepted Hajj is that a person's life changes after Hajj. In the same way, the sign of an accepted, you know, Ramadan with fasting and devotion is that a person's life changes for the better. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our fasting. And very important, and many of you are aware, you know, of what happened in Masjid al-Aqsa yesterday. So this is a month of dua. You know, we can't be ignorant of what's going on in the world. One ummah. And I'll finish with this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that al-mu'min ka jasadin wahid, the believers are like one body. In ishtaka aynuhu, ishtaka kulluhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just keep cool. You know, similes and metaphors to explain. There's no better teacher than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's something I forgot as well. You know, sending salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is a salutation upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It's us making dua to Allah. We're asking Allah to send blessings and mercies upon the best individual who ever walked this earth. We're asking Allah. And salutation of the Prophet. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the mu'min, the believers are like one body. In ishtaka aynuhu, if the eye is hurting, then the entire body is restless. It's a sign of being right. And if the head, you know, if someone's ever had a migraine, you're completely, you know, your whole being is disturbed by it. You can't do anything, you can't function properly. This is what the believers are like. So, you know, make dua, you know, we're so helpless. What else can we do? Dua is a big tool as well. And our conditions, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them strength and courage. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, deal with, you know, these enemies who continue to persecute and oppress. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, destroy them. Either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should give them hidayah, or Allah subhanahu, if hidayah is not destined for them, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, keep us steadfast. You know, when we depart from this dunya, we should leave with iman. Allah takes us in the best way possible, where our souls are cleansed, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us, where our sins are forgiven. There's no guarantee, is there? So another important thing that we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this blessed month of Ramadan. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
Respected brothers and elders, I've been asked to make a few announcements on behalf of the management. One is with regards to a talk that will take place on the 7th of April. And this talk will be delivered by Sheikh Yunus, Maulana Yunus Dudwala. And that will be after Taraweeh Salah. Okay, so that will be on the 7th of April. There'll also be a Q&A at the end as well, so encourage the youngsters. Maulana Yunus is someone we've known for years, and I've known since I was young, so definitely recommended. So that's on the 7th of April after Taraweeh. Then every Sunday between 2:30 and 4 p.m, there's a sisters program, so we should try and encourage our mums, our wives, and our daughters and sisters to try and attend that program, inshallah. And obviously, they should also be encouraged to listen in at home. You know, we can listen to the radio for hours and hours. You know, people will turn on the radio as soon as they turn the car on. The radio's already on. You know, I'm sure, you know, politely, and if we try and encourage our sisters and we ourselves as well, you know, we can listen to these talks at home as well, inshallah. And there's also a program just on the Monday, the 10th of April, again, after Taraweeh. So Mufti Abdurrahman Mangera, he'll be giving that talk. Inshallah, there'll be refreshments for the boys, I mean, for whoever attends, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدانا إلى سبيل الهداية والعرفان وجعلنا من أهل الإسلام والإيقان نحمده سبحانه وتعالى على أن أظلنا شهر عظيم يسمى رمضان ترمض فيه الذنوب وتكشف فيه الكروب ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له شهادة بالقلب واللسان ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله الذي عرفنا ما يدخلنا الجنان صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أكمل أهل الإيمان وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا أما بعد فقد دخل شهر رمضان فخذوا بركاته بالطاعات والتنزه عن العصيان كما حضنا عليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى ما لا يتناهى من الزمان قال عليه الصلاة والسلام إذا كان أول ليلة من شهر رمضان صفدت الشياطين ومردت الجن وغلقت أبواب النار فلم يفتح منها باب وفتحت أبواب الجنة فلم يغلق منها باب وينادي مناد يا باغي الخير أقبل ويا باغي الشر أقصر ولله عتقاء من النار وذلك كل ليلة وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام كل عمل ابن آدم يضاعف الحسنة بعشر أمثالها إلى 700 ضعف قال الله عز وجل إلا الصوم فإنه لي وأنا أجزي به يدع شهوته وطعامه من أجلي للصائم فرحتان فرحة عند فطره وفرحة عند لقاء ربه ولخلوف فيه أطيب عند الله من ريح المسك والصيام جنة وإذا كان يوم صوم أحدكم فلا يرفث ولا يصخب فإن سابه أحد أو قاتله فليقل إني امرؤ صائم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فالآن باشروهن وابتغوا ما كتب الله لكم وكلوا واشربوا حتى يتبين لكم الخيط الأبيض من الخيط الأسود من الفجر ثم أتموا الصيام إلى الليل بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء عثمان وأقضاهم علي
وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا رضي الله عنهم وعن الصحابة أجمعين الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين في كل مكان اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين ودمر أعداء الدين اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا معهم اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم اللهم اشف مرضانا وعاف مبتلانا وارحم موتانا وخذ بيدنا إلى خير واعصمنا من كل شر واحفظنا من كل ضير اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا واعذنا من شرور أنفسنا اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين آمين يا رب العالمين آمين يا رب العالمين آمين يا رب العالمين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون أقيموا صفوفكم Please straighten your rows Ensure mobile phones are switched off Stand shoulder to shoulder.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين يا عين صاد ذكر رحمة ربك عبده زكريا إذ نادى ربه نداء خفيا قال رب إني وهن العظم مني واشتعل الرأس شيبا ولم أكن بدعائك رب شقيا وإني خفت الموالي من ورائي وكانت امرأتي عاقرا فهب لي من لدنك وليا يرثني ويرث من آل يعقوب واجعله ربي رضيا الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا لم نجعل له من قبل سميا قال رب أنى يكون لي غلام وكانت امرأتي عاقرا وقد بلغت من الكبر عتيا قال كذلك قال ربك هو علي هين وقد خلقتك من قبل ولم تك شيئا الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.